Now, I'm going to read to you. I know that you thought, oh, I think we heard those verses last week. Colleen's completely lost it. But we're hearing them twice on purpose because last week I decided I couldn't do all of that in one week. And so I'm going to read to you just from the end of that Romans passage that Bobby just read for us. I'm going to start in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all hearts be acceptable in your sight, Almighty God, our rock and our Redeemer. All glory and honor is yours, Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, last week we dove into the 8th chapter of Romans, which I related at that time many believe to be the pinnacle of Paul's writings. We heard about Paul's explanation of the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit is present with us in all places and at all times, and how the Spirit intercedes for us when we are too beaten down or too tired to be able to pray on our own. We saw pictures of a place called the Hill of Crosses in Lithuania, which showed us very, very vividly that despite governmental authorities trying to wipe out that holy and sacred place over a period of 100 years or more, even when they have taken all of those crosses down and burned them and melted them, even when they covered the whole area in waste and sewage, crosses continue to come, and there are over 500,000 crosses on that hill today. We found through that one picture that the Spirit is not dead in Lithuania. I remarked last week that it's really almost impossible to cover all of these verses in one day, so we're going to start off at verse 31, where Bobby read to us today. And this is what it says. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God the Father and is also interceding for us. And so we learned last week that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, but not only that, Jesus Christ is interceding for us at all times when we can't pray. When we can't even take the next step, Christ is interceding for us. Now, that's pretty awesome when you think about it. And Paul reminds us that Jesus, who died, in fact, was raised from the dead, is helping us as we walk through this very difficult and sometimes hostile world. Verses 33 and 34, I believe, are particularly important to all believers. Here they are again. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. This tells me that human judgment against us doesn't really count. You see, there's only one judgment that counts, and if you're sitting here today breathing, you have not received that judgment yet. It is the only one that really, really counts. God alone is the one who justifies us. And in Bible language, that word justify or justification really means making things right between us and God and forgiving us of all the things that we do or don't do. And although Paul is addressing this letter to the believers in Rome, his message is for all, for believers and for potential believers as well. Paul is telling us that forgiveness is really and ultimately between us and God, not only between us and those that we have wronged or who have wronged us. Now, it is really nice when people forgive each other. I love it when it turns out that way. But the fact is, the most important part of forgiveness is getting right with God and letting God handle that other hard part of transformation of the other person. The closer we get to God, the closer we can get to other people. But we learn this unconditional love that God has for us by letting go of our own need to keep score, by letting go of our own need to judge others. And when you get right down to it, isn't that what forgiveness is all about? Not judging the other and not keeping score against the other. In order for us to draw closer to God, we have to make more room for Him in our hearts and less room for our own opinions or for our own thoughts about what other people ought to be doing or not doing at any time. When we make room for God, then our relationships with people improve. I bet some of you could stand up right now and give me examples of how that has worked in your own life. Now, those last few verses, 35 to 39, that I read to you just a little while ago, anybody know where we usually hear those verses? Okay, nobody at 8:30 did either. So I'm going to give you the same hint I gave them. At funerals, that's your hint. We hear those verses read at funerals a lot. Here they are again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, before we start getting all sappy about how God loves us and we start feeling all warm and fuzzy about that, even though it is true, we need to talk about how it is that God loves us and what God's love means in our lives. You see, God's love is pure and powerful. It is the one thing that really, really keeps us moving forward even when we're unaware of it. But when we are aware of God's love for us, when we claim the knowledge that God loves us deeply and completely, it emboldens us and it makes us stronger. God's love isn't the kind of love that gives us that warm, fuzzy feeling. It's a love that makes us strong enough to stand even when all of those things in that list threaten to overwhelm us. Has anybody ever heard of Miriam Ibrahim? Ibrahim? Anybody ever heard of her? She's a Sudanese woman who was condemned to death by the Sudanese government because she refused to renounce her Christian faith. Now, this didn't happen 100 years ago. It happened a few months ago. And it was only resolved a couple of weeks ago. But here's what happened. Miriam's mother married a Muslim man who later left her and Miriam and started another family, producing other children. Well, Miriam's mother was an Ethiopian, and she raised Miriam in the Christian faith. In 2011, Miriam met and married a man who has dual U.S. and Sudanese citizenship, who is also a Christian and who lives in New Hampshire. Well, Miriam was arrested and sentenced to death by hanging, but then later released. After she had become pregnant with their second child, she was imprisoned again. In February 2014, after a member of the Muslim side of her family reported her to the authorities, saying that she had converted from Islam to marry her Christian husband. Again, Miriam refused to renounce her faith. And so once again, she was given that sentence of death by hanging. She was forced to take her 20-month-old son into her cell with her, and she was pregnant with their second child. The court in Khartoum ruled that she must give birth to and nurse her baby before being executed, but she also must receive 100 lashes for the crime of adultery immediately after having her baby because she had had relations with her Christian husband. She gave birth to her second child, Maya, in her prison cell with her ankles shackled together. The judge, whose name is Abbas Khalifa, told Miriam, "We gave you 3 days to recant, but you insist on not returning to Islam, and I sentence you to be hanged to death." But Ibrahim, Miriam, held strong to her faith, strong to her beliefs, and she said, I was never a Muslim. I was a Christian from the very start. It's who I am. I will not renounce my faith. Well, finally, just a little over a week ago, she and her husband managed to leave Sudan and to fly to Italy before coming to the United States, where they will be able to raise both of their children as Christians. Nothing could compel her over all of that time to convert to a different religion because she is a follower of Jesus Christ and no other. Now, I tell you this story not to highlight Miriam's bravery, because that's not what this story is about. This story is about the power of God's love. No amount of human strength could compel a person to go through all that she went through. No amount of human strength or determination or even willpower could compel a person to go to prison, to face a death sentence, to give birth to a child in prison, and to await a seemingly unalterable sentence of death. But the sure and unwavering knowledge of God's love can compel us to withstand all of this, because we don't do it alone. Paul says it, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not persecution, not famine, not danger, not sword, not even death or the threat of death can separate us from God's powerful love. You see, God's love gives us superhuman strength because it is the ultimate truth for all of creation. And this is important. Human love makes us feel secure. God's love secures us. Do you see the difference? Human love makes us feel secure, but God's powerful love is what really secures us. The promise of this passage is not that we won't face all of these things. The promise is that none of these things are strong enough to separate us from God's love, which is more powerful than any of those things in that difficult list. God's love can get us through any circumstance that life has to offer. Hear these words. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Now, we don't stop at conquerors. We don't say we're more than conquerors. We say we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, indicating that we are in relationship with Him on this journey. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, I mentioned earlier that we usually hear this text at funerals. And as I think about it, I'm thinking maybe that's too late. Maybe we shouldn't wait until a funeral to hear these powerful, powerful words. Maybe instead we should hear every single day over and over and over again that God's love is so powerful that it can strengthen us in the face of the most improbable and unfaceable calamities. God's love is so strong that indeed nothing, nothing can overcome it. It is true that this letter was written to believers in the community in Rome. Oh, what a message for believers to share with those who do not know a loving God. What a message for us to share with those who believe that God's love is somehow as weak and as pathetic as movies and television portray love to be. God's love is not anything like that. God's love is empowering. It is all-embracing. It is all-encompassing. It is more than enough to heal this broken world. And above all, and here's the good news, God's powerful love is available for every human being. Now again, this letter was written to those who were believers, but not to exclude unbelievers, but instead to remind believers that we are the ones who have been given the responsibility and the authority to exemplify the radical love of God through Jesus Christ for every human being. Miriam Abraham's testimony is about God's power. It is not about her, and no testimony by anybody who proclaims to love Jesus Christ is ever about the person. It is always about the power of God's love. It has always been that way. It will always be that way. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We do not proclaim anything about ourselves. It is now and always has been Jesus Christ. So this week, as every week, go and share this message that nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ, that nothing can come between God and us without our permission. Believe it, share it, live it, and don't waver from it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.